2,600 years ago, a people living on a peninsula jutting out in the middle of the Mediterranean came up with a bright idea. Instead of being ruled by tyrants or kings or dictators, they invented democracy and decided to give the people the right to rule by consent of the governed. That required debate. I want to welcome you to the debate tonight. My name is Gary Gillespie. I'm chair of the communication department at Northwest University in Kirkland. I've been a debate coach for 20 years now and have a group of outstanding students that have decided that they come to debate the topic, resolved Washington State should seek alternative forms of energy. When Plato first founded the Academy, the first university, debate was one of the most important parts of the curriculum. Each night, students would have dinner together, and then the professors would ask the students to give speeches. That was the beginning of debate in academia, and we're going to continue that tradition on tonight. Students are going to be sparring with ideas and testing their ability to persuade. Now, they've been assigned their topics, and each side is going to be given a series of speeches to try to convince our panel of judges which side did the better job. After the first minute of each speech, the other team can stand up and ask questions if they want. Now, whoever has the floor has the right to accept the question or not accept it. We show approval by knocking, like they do in the House of Parliament in England. Let me introduce to you our debate team. On the affirmative team is our captain, Jordan Goddard. Jordan is an interdisciplinary studies major who a few weeks ago applied for law school at Harvard, Penn, Stanford, Yale, and Chicago. And most of those schools waived their application fees because he was in the 98th percentile of the LSAT. His partner is Gideon Koppel. Gideon is a communication major from Hanoi, Vietnam, and dreams someday of being a U.S. diplomat. On the opposition, we have Casey DeGennaro. He's from Sitka, Alaska, and is a music major. When Casey was in the second grade, he designed his own computer and supposedly passed high school math tests. His partner is Taylor Jones. Taylor is a freshman from Phoenix, Arizona, and was a top debater in that state in high school. She dreams of attending Harvard Law School, so perhaps she'll be in the same class with Jordan someday. Our panel of judges down here, we've got Kevin Botterbush, who's a freshman. We've got Jedediah Nelson, and also Mark Abbott. They're going to be deciding who they think did the better job and giving a bit of commentary at the end. Our Speaker of the House, who's officiating the debate tonight, is alumnus Nathan Novak. And we thank you for giving up your time to do that. Washington State should seek alternative forms of energy. That's our topic, and let's begin.
Mr. Gillespie, I thank you for your comments. And with those remarks, I officially open this session of the House, and I call upon Mr. Jordan Goddard to deliver a speech not to exceed 8 minutes in the first affirmative speech on the topic, Washington State should seek alternative forms of energy. Mr. Goddard, you have 8 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Novak. I'd just like to begin by extending some thanks to some of the individuals that made this possible, to my partner Gideon, as well as to our opponents and our judge panel, to Coach Gillespie, who's provided a wonderful debate program for us to enjoy this year, and to Janice Perry in the city of Kirkland for making this possible. John F. Kennedy once said, "Change is the law of life." And those who look only to the past or present are certain to miss the future. I'm proud to call myself a Washingtonian because I associate this state with progress, both on a cultural and technological level. But I don't think being a leader is enough. There's still room to improve, And so I have to stand behind the proposition that Washington State should seek alternative forms of energy. Currently, we lead the way in many forms of alternative energy research, such as solar. However, we feel that these programs could be better funded, that we could be supporting the future a little bit better than we currently are. And with that, we propose a green receipt program, a program for better funding alternative energy research within Washington State. I'll be talking a little bit more about what this program means, but first I'd like to talk a little bit about the inspiration for this program, that of the Green Tag Program, a federal program that's sponsored by the Environmental Protection Agency. Currently, there are 23 cities in the United States that have opted to sign on to this program. It's a program that helps to fund alternative energy, not so much the research, but the actual delivery of alternative energy. We want to adapt this program, this very successful program that's popped up in the last couple of years, and is popular in states such as, well, Washington for one, as well as Oregon, Nevada, Wyoming, Idaho, California, and many others, even some on the East Coast such as in Maine and Massachusetts, have gotten on board of this program. And it's already opened up the doors for green power for a lot of people who wouldn't be able to afford it. However, here in Washington, we would like to take the structure of this program, one that encourages both individuals and businesses, especially businesses, though, to support green energy and its development. We have a number of different programs in our state that make it unique, such as Washington State University's Cooperative Extension Energy Program, which has become a leader in photovoltaic research, or solar energy. In fact, they discovered that Eastern Washington is one of the best places for setting up these plants. And many of the technologies that they've been developing are very close to maturation. In other words, they're very close to actually being able to serve you and I as consumers. However, they're not quite there yet. And we need to look forward to the future. We need to fund these programs because that's really what's holding us back. It's not the question of, do we need alternative energy? Anyone who's paid attention to the news knows that fossil fuels is limited. The question is, how soon are we going to get behind them? How soon are we going to sponsor them to make sure that they have the funding and the resources to actually develop in a timely fashion? I'd also like to point out the Northwest Energy Coalition, a coalition that brings together over 100 different research agencies dedicated to alternative energy research in the Northwest. This agency is a nonprofit group that helps to fund and support the development of various types of alternative energy. These are just a couple of examples of programs that would be helped by our program. But with that, I would like to come to the actual specifics of our proposition. And so what is the Green Receipt Program that we are proposing today? Basically, we are saying that we should institute a statewide system, a green receipt system that would recognize businesses, well, individuals or businesses, but this is really geared towards businesses, who donate at least $1,000 to the Green Receipt Program. Washington State currently has a very well-funded and well-developed Environmental Protection Agency, one of the reasons I'm proud to call myself a Washingtonian. And so a lot of the overhead costs are already covered. They're already in place. We have a broad number of facilities, funding, and individuals already in place to help run this program. Essentially, a business would donate money, $1,000 for each green receipt they receive, to the Washington State Green Receipt Program. This money would then be funded to fund various nonprofit entities dedicated to researching alternative forms of energy. Specifically, those that are approved by the National Green Power Board, a nonprofit agency that's dedicated to researching supporting green power research and identifying which organizations are truly supporting true green power research and which ones are effective. And so anyone that is certified by the National Green Power Board will be eligible to receive funding by simply applying to the Washington Environmental Protection Agency for a portion of the green receipt funding. In return, your business would be able to tell the world that you have green receipts. In other words, you would be able to present through your advertising, you would have a tool available to you that would let consumers know confidently that they're supporting a business that is standing behind alternative energy. And I'm going to talk about why that's so important in just a minute. But first, I would like to get into the first advantage of this program, and that is increased alternative energy research. As I already said, we are a leader, the state, in developing new forms of energy. However, that doesn't mean that we're good enough. We're not there yet. And as much as we put into these programs, they're still not as well funded as they could be. They're still not there yet. We all stand behind, theoretically, the idea of alternative energy. Yet many people haven't necessarily put their pocketbooks where their mouths are. This program will help to put the word out, to let people know that Washington State has a program, that the state government is interested in funding these forms of alternative energy research, and that your business can be recognized by the state as one that is contributing to the future. What this means is a sped-up form of alternative energy research. It means that solar power is going to be available to you and I as consumers that much sooner. It means that wind power has the potential to develop into something that could actually provide more power than it consumes. What this means is shortening the time frame for bringing these technologies to the marketplace, for weaning us off the teat of fossil fuels. And I think that all citizens can agree that that's a good place to be. But moving on to the second advantage of this program, that it provides a clear standard for alternative energy research. Right now, there's a strong trend among corporate America to channel money not into traditional advertising, but into programs that benefit the community. However, because of this trend, some have abused it. For example, you may have seen the commercial from Truth.com that pointed out that a tobacco company donated about $125,000 of food to charity and spent $21 million advertising the fact they'd done it. Right now, there's kind of a crazy situation in that many businesses want to get the word out there that they're supporting the community, but they don't know how. Many companies have abused this privilege, this ability to help the community. And what the Green Certificate Program provides is a clear standard for the consumer to understand where their money's going, how it's being spent. It's going to a variety of different forms of alternative energy research that are certified by the National Green Power Board and are recognized and supported by the state of Washington and the Washington Environmental Protection Agency. So as a result, we as consumers will have more confidence when we support businesses because they claim to be environmentally friendly. We will be more certain that when we offer our support to a business that we are actually supporting the things that we want to support, like alternative energy research and resources. And so as a result, we as consumers are better informed and more confident and more comfortable in making our purchasing decisions. So we offer this simple proposal to you today, that we create a green receipt program that will certify donations by both businesses and individuals, that will help bring the future to us that much closer and provide needed clarity for consumers today.
Thank you, Mr. Goddard. And now to introduce the arguments of the opposition, I will call upon Mr. DeGennaro. Mr. DeGennaro, you have 8 minutes to deliver your speech.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would like to extend some thank yous, of course, to my coach, Gary Gillespie, who has raised us in this tradition of a 2,000-year tradition of debate, the city of Kirkland for giving us this opportunity to do this, and also the television station that I'm sure we are being broadcast on at this very moment. With that, I would like to just jump straight into this. But to start, I'd like to talk about the 1980s. In the 1980s, we had the Reagan administration, which at the time got caught under fire because of the fact that their schools, or the public schools at the time, nutritionists were finding out that there were not enough vegetables on the menu. And so what Reagan administration decided to do was to solve the problem. And the way they decided to solve the problem was, yes, put vegetables on the menu by defining ketchup as another vegetable. Masking the problem with a solution that seems to work at first, but once you think about it, breaks down, is exactly what the government team or the affirmative team has given us today in this debate. And I would like to show you exactly why their plan, really, while it does sound like a solution to the problem, really just clouds the issues. And really, if we really want to do this, if biodiesel, if alternative alternative energy sources is the wave of the future, the wave of what Washington wants, which I believe it is, then we need to take real action, not some marketing campaign to get people to donate money. So let's start off with some of the... They talked about the advantages. Let's talk about some of the disadvantages to their plan. The first disadvantage is the idea of what we would like to call workability, or will this plan actually do what they say it's going to do? And I would like to submit that no, it will not. The first reason for this is because that all it is marketing. All that this program is, there's already charities out there. There's already places that people can donate. They can donate to research institutes. They can donate to the exact same things that they can donate to after the plan. All that the green receipts are is a way to market the idea to make it slightly more appealing for people to go out and donate money. The problem is that having a green receipt does not make someone want to spend a bunch of money on a program. What makes them want to spend a bunch of money on a program is the idea that that program is valuable, the idea that they care about their environment. And those type of people that exist in our current state of Washington are the ones already donating money. You're not going to see a significant gain in number of people because all that they're doing is doing one more gimmick marketing tactic. The second reason why this is not going to work is because they're donating to a government organization instead of directly to the charities. You could put this under a disadvantage we'd like to call the cost of doing business. What we see with a program like this is that it's not going to the university directly. It's going first to a government agency, which means that a government agency has to be created to work and settle and figure out exactly who's donating what to who because of this program. And so what happens is that there's going to be an increase in overhead on any organization that then the government is going to donate afterwards. There's going to be one more step in the process, and therefore there's going to be less money for the research from the donations themselves. And so you see that because of all this marketing and all this overhead, what we see is that the cost makes this program not going to work. The next disadvantage to their case is that it covers the real issue. And this really is the core of the opposition's case against the affirmative today and the affirmative plan. And that is that it is not enough just to make a receipt program and say that we are solving the problem of pollution. What we are doing when we do that is that we are saying, there, the government has done something. And it loses any momentum for real change to happen. And because we are doing something, the people that really do want real change to happen, their voices fall on deaf ears because of the fact that... excuse me, because of the fact that the program is in place, the government can cry, no, we have a program that you're not even letting it have a chance to work. No, what we need is to see real changes. What really needs to happen is the government needs to come in and pass some real legislation, not a program that is simply marketing. The few business owners that will participate in this would have probably been able to spend that money could have spent that money lobbying for real changes, or could have spent that money going directly to the businesses, but instead now it's going to help cover the cost of these receipts. Before I get to our advocacy, I'd like to take a question, sir.
Thank you. So maybe you could explain to us today, whether it be the government or some non-governmental agency, why is increased funding for green alternative energy a bad thing?
What I'm not saying...
All money going to this is...
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it is a gimmick. If we think of environmentalism as an important issue here in Washington, then we shouldn't. To make businesses pay for those programs is a slap in the face, and that's the opposition side in this. That's the opposition's advocacy in this debate today, because we really believe that if the Washington State wants to work on their environmental programs, then the Washington State government should be the ones paying for it, and that's the opposition stance on this point on this debate. The environmentalism is too important. We are the evergreen state. If we're going to fund this project, let's fund this project. Let's get the ball rolling on real environmental change. A receipt... What we need to see is stricter emission regulations. We need to see industrial caps on pollution. What we need to see is an expansion of the biodiesel mass transit system that we have throughout Seattle. Expand that to the rest of the state. What we need to see is things that are going to make real differences, not force businesses to pay for the programs the government should have paid for themselves. Having the government force the burdens onto the businesses is not only irresponsible, it is flat out unethical. Washington State can do better than that. Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe the Steelers are going to put it onto their businesses. But here, the Seahawks in Washington State, we say, no, we are going to do better than that. We are the Evergreen State, and we have been recognized as that by most of the Northwest and by much of the nation. And we would like to keep that on a legislative branch, not just on a marketing side of things. To recognize the problem and not financially back it is what we've seen with policy after policy, and we don't want to see it again with this policy. Environmentalism is too important. I've said this time and time again. If their plan goes into action today, what we are going to see is the possibility of change to happen. But what we want to see is real change happening tomorrow. What we really want to see is emissions. We want to see a noticeable difference in emissions coming out of factories. What we really want to see is a noticeable difference in the amount of cars on the road. What we really want to see is a difference in the amount of funding that's going to those research places, not the promise that it might happen later. We want to see the real thing. It might cost Washington residents a little bit of money to do this. It might cost us a little bit of extra taxes, but isn't it worth it? We tax everyone for education because education is important to us. Education is something that we hold dear to us. And even if you're not somebody who has children, you still pay for education. The same thing goes with the environment, or at least it should. With the government's case, or with the case we have before us today, what we see is that only the people that care about it are the ones that should pay for it. No, the environment belongs to all of us, and it is all of our responsibilities to do it, whether we like to or not. It's all of our responsibilities to help fund these things through our taxes, through stricter regulations. We need this program to work, and we need to work now. We don't need it to be some campaign promise of a gimmick of a green receipt that somehow is going to save the world's environmental plan. What we need to see is real action that's going to take effect tomorrow and cause real change, real improvement.
Mr. DeGennaro, thank you for your remarks. I now call upon the affirmative team, the second speaker, Mr. Coppo. You have 8 minutes to deliver the final constructive arguments for the affirmative team.
Thank you. And if I could just reciprocate the thanks that have been going around so far. We're very, very thankful of Ms. Perry and the City of Kirkland for agreeing to televise this debate for all of you watching today. Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen watching, the negative side today would have you believe that our green receipt program is just a gimmick, that we don't solve the real problem. Yet you have to realize that a lot of what happens in debate is called hot air. And right now, all of the hot air in the room is coming from this side of the table. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a problem, all help is good. There is no help that is bad, if in fact it is help. When you have funding, whether, you know, regardless of whose pocket it comes out of, going towards research, long-term research, that's always a good thing, and that is what we are advocating through the Green Receipt Program today. Now realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the average American household produces 35,000 pounds of greenhouse gas emissions every year. 35,000 pounds. That's the equivalent of about, I believe, a few tons, and that would transfer into being about 12 Honda Civics. I did the math before coming here today. So we're I guess letting out the equivalent weight of 12 cars every year just in gas, and that's from every single household on average in the United States. This is a problem, and I don't think the negative is going to dispute that, is that this is a very real and a very pressing problem that we have today, and we need to search for long-term solutions. When we hear things about, like, emission caps and, you know, changing the figures, messing around with the caps that are already in place, these tell us one thing. All this tells us is that this is a short-term fix to a very big long-term problem. On the other hand, when we hear a proposal about increased funding for alternative types of energy, we realize that this is, in fact, a little bit more long-term, and we're not being so short-sighted in trying to fix the issue. So they said today that, number one, workability. This plan won't work because it's, quote, only a gimmick marketing tactic. The fact is, my fellow Washingtonians, is that many of you realize that much of the corporate world is not too concerned with environmentalism, as they should be, as Mr. DeGennaro has already told you they should be. What we're doing is fighting fire with fire. We are promoting environmentalism through the means of capitalism. Now, name one other program that does that. You see, think of when you see like Ford truck advertisements on TV. You know, Kirkland Ford, Kirkland Toyota, whatever. It tells you, come buy your cars here because we're winners of this award, J.D. Power and Associates, you know, you name it. What this does is adds on for their list of awards. We are the holder of 45 green receipts, and they'll put that on the end of their ad, therefore attracting more eco-friendly customers like you and I that are in the market for a truck. Yes, sir, you had a question.
Who is going to donate this money?
Donate?
Who specifically is
okay.
Guaranteed to donate?
Specifically, hopefully you at home watching have got this already, as Mr. DeGennaro has not. Specifically, it will be the businesses that will be buying mostly the green receipts. As my partner said before, they're going to be costing about $1,000 each. And, you know, maybe it's a little sticker. Maybe it's something you can hang in your window. The fact is, not at this time, thank you, is that it serves as recognition for you. It tells your customers that you as a business care about the environment, and if they shop with you, they will be supporting that. Think, if you will, to all of you in the Kirkland area, of the Puget Sound Consumer Co-op, or you might recognize it as PCC, the PCC stores. Same principle. Their prices are not necessarily lower than Costco's or Safeway's or even Trader Joe's. Their prices are not competitive. Why do people shop there? Why are they doing extremely good in business? Because people realize that I want to support something bigger than just low costs. They realize that I want to support fair trade. I want to support organically grown produce. This is the same principle that applies to the green receipt programs. People have an ethic, if you will, when it comes to the environment, and this ethic will transcend the boundaries of corporate capitalism and go into the corporate world. We're fighting fire with fire, as I said before. Yes, sir.
Who's going to donate to your program that wouldn't have donated, say, in the status quo or in the present day?
Well, as my partners laid out, in the status quo, we really have no standard nationalized, I guess, bar that's been set when it comes to donating to a green fund. You have lots of nonprofits. I mean, heck, I could go out tomorrow and start my own nonprofit and call it Gideon's Green Fund. Please donate to me. It's not going to happen because I'm not going to be recognized state by state by state. When you have like the EPA behind you and the Department of Energy, you know that these guys are going to be legit, and this is what is going to be the case with the Green Receipt Program. Second, they said cost. They said new government agencies are so expensive to create. Well, you at home have to ask yourselves, is this worth it? We're talking about the air that future generations will breathe. Is this worth it? Is another agency worthwhile? Sure. Now, the paradox comes when they later say that the state should fund these things instead. Wait a minute, the state should fund these things, but at the same time, no new state agencies created? I'm not seeing their logic here. Thank you. Finally, they say that this covers the real issue. The real issue is getting people to care. You at home realize that many times it's very hard for you to show ways that you care. You work 9-to-5 jobs. You have kids, you have to put food on the table, you have to send them to school. You realize you can't go and spend your time at a rally, for example, or you spend your time solely raising money for environmental issues. What you can do is shop at businesses which have green receipts. You can be a smart consumer, you know, and while you're being a consumer, you can also be a creator of a long-term fix. Speaking of which, a wise man by the name of Mahatma Gandhi said a few years ago that you have to be the change that you want to see come about. Now the time is now. We've seen the problem in front of us and we know what has to be done. We cannot solve this problem with little fixes. We don't put the band-aids on the cracks in the dam. What we need today is a large program that's going to fix this, that's going to work with both the private and the corporate sectors, and with government. And we're going to realize that alternative energy is really the most important thing that's on the agenda these days as far as environmentalism. So unless we have more clash from the second member of the negative, I don't see how you can not support the Green Receipt Program today. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Mr. Koppel, your insights are greatly appreciated. We now call upon Ms. Jones to deliver the final constructive arguments for the opposition team. Ms. Jones, you have 8 minutes.
On Friday, in a speech to 1,200 people at Seattle Biodiesel, Senator Hillary Clinton called for an Advanced Research Projects Energy Act through the Department of Energy. She sees the need for federal and state legislation on the issue of alternative energy. And with that, I'd just like to pause and thank everyone for being here, the government team for laying out a debatable case, to my partner for putting together a great Leader of Opposition speech, to the judging panel, to Coach Gillespie, and also to the city of Kirkland and all of you watching out there. What we believe that to change laws concerning alternative fuel would be the best way to help the environment right now. And our opposition philosophy is in line with legislation such as the Energy Act. We feel that government action speaks louder than words, or in this case, bumper stickers or a little sideway on an advertisement on TV that the government team is promoting. First, I'd like to talk about the actual government plan and bring up some flaws with that plan, and then I'd like to address the disadvantages that were brought up by my partner. First of all, we have to understand that they say that by donating to whichever nonprofit organization you would like, a business would choose, that this will help research and promote it and be faster. However, you have to realize that what really needs to happen are the businesses that are producing these alternative fuels need to succeed. So when you have a diversity of different groups and organizations that this could go to, it wouldn't be like the money would be going all in one place. It would be going to whatever group you would choose. So it wouldn't be as if it would be giving enough money to really guarantee any solvency. Also, I'd like to point out that these are nonprofit groups. Many of them are already receiving government funding, and the government team cannot prove that through this research they'll be able to come up with a significantly faster, more outcome than, say, we would with a real change in the legislation. I'd also like to look at I'd also like to look at something that was said in the Prime Minister's speech, that we need to speed up this alternative energy. However, by going to different groups and going wherever one person chooses, $1,000 at a time, when people are not donating enough right now in the status quo, how are they going to be able to prove that this is actually going to speed something up? People of the audience, you can see that what really will speed up this process are laws that change how we look at alternative energy and a decisive stance from the government. And also, and with that, I'll take your question, sir.
Thank you. You stated a number of times that legislation is the answer, but I'm still waiting to hear the explanation of how legislation actually speeds up these programs or assists nonprofit agencies that have come so far in their research.
Thank you for that question, sir. We can see that by creating laws such as the one proposed by Senator Clinton, that we will cut back on emissions and put standards for the gas industry that they'll have to use biodiesel fuel more, and that will be more effective than just giving $1,000 to companies here and there that might do some more research, that any company, as you stated, could get approved to get these licenses through the EPA. So it would be more efficient for the government to work. And with that, I'd like to move on to the disadvantages. The first one that my partner talked about was workability, and I feel like this is a very strong point. We still don't have any solid examples from the government team of how this has actually worked in other states. They mentioned that other states have been doing this for a long time, but they don't tell us how much money was given to these programs or if they've actually come up with anything substantial. So we can see that if you were to vote for this plan, you wouldn't be sure if it was able to solve or not. However, if we have laws like my partner, if we make laws like my partner is saying, it can be everyone would have to obey them, and we could see the true outcome of that. In the last speech, the member of government stated that corporations don't care. However, I would like to pose or to give the thought of, if they don't care, what makes you think that they're suddenly going to turn around and care all of a sudden? Not at this time, please, sir. If these organizations wouldn't give money in the first place, just because they're going to get some a green tag or green sticker doesn't mean that they're going to all of a sudden donate all this money to environmental agencies. We can see that people who want to donate to private companies are already doing so right now in the status quo. So I ask you, why should we make another government program that would eat up much of its benefits just in advertising and in overhead costs, like my partner said, when this money is already being given in the private industry world to companies that they feel fit? And with that, I'll take your second and final question.
Thank you. You asked before, why would corporations care? Well, if they care about the bottom line, about the bottom dollar, all they're doing with this program is attracting customers. They're attracting more customers.
Thank
why?
You. When I was bringing that up, I was alluding to what you said in your speech, that corporations don't care, and that's the point that I was trying to make. Now, our next disadvantage is that of the cost of doing business. He says, well, we try to use the state too. However, we are saying that these government laws will be enacted at a federal and state level and will not create so much overhead because they're already in place, like Hillary Clinton said. I'd also like to bring up how someone mentioned that the Truth Campaign did an advertisement cost was $2 million. They say that this is going to be widely known throughout the state of Washington and that people will respect and revere this program so much that they will automatically run out and buy these $1,000 green tags. Well, if it takes $2.1 million to advertise for that commercial to get things across, how much is it going to take for people to really respect this problem, when that money could be going straight to private businesses who are actually coming up with alternative energy practices? The last and final disadvantage that my partner brought up was that of real change, and I feel that this is probably the most important issue. He made some great analysis on why if we simply vote this through, it's not going to really solve the issue. Sure, some companies might get 30% of the amount of money that's being raised to go to a researching place that they choose, but is that really collective? Is that really actually going to do something that you and I can see on our day-to-day level? We would argue no, it's not. And until the government team, which by the way has the burden of proof, can tell you that this new government program and this agency can really produce something, then we say that you should vote with the opposition team and say, we need real change right now. He mentioned getting people to care. I would tell you that right now fossil fuels are running out whether people care or not. So let's stop just trying to make people care and giving them these small incentives that are just creating more government problems. And let's make laws that they must abide by, because let's face it, the government or the environment is something that we all deal with. Like education, as my partner brought up, we deal with it every day, and we have to do something to promote and create more alternative fuels.
Ms. Jones, thank you for your remarks. Now I call back to the floor Mr. DeGennaro, now that the constructive arguments in today's debate are closed, to bring forth the first rebuttals from side opposition. Mr. DeGennaro, you have 4 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would basically like to start off by just presenting our case. But before that, I would like to just extend one quick round thank you one more time. Just thank you for watching this. Thank you for coming out. Without an audience participation, without an audience support, this sport could not exist. Their plan simply will not work. This is the bottom line to the opposition's case today. The opposition has presented today this idea that their plan is simply a marketing tactic for a charity organization that is put together by the government. That is their plan, and it's colored under the name Green receipt. It is nothing more than a marketing campaign for charity. We've been trying to ask the question of who is going to buy these receipts, who is not donating money right now. Companies donate money every single day, and like the government knows, and like the government, affirmative knows, and the affirmative has even talked about, companies like to donate and like to advertise the fact that they donate to different causes. That happens already. We're saying that, they're saying it. The question that we've been asking them this entire time is, who is going to now jump on the bandwagon because of the green receipts? And they can't give us a single type of organization. All they can say is, well, the businesses that don't know how to donate that money. That's not the problem. Not knowing how to donate money is not the problem. The problem lies in the fact that we have apathy. The fact that we have people in our group, in our state, who aren't willing to donate. Which brings me to our second major reason why you can't vote for the affirmative team. And that is, their plan covers up the real issue. And the real issue is that global warming is happening. We've seen Katrina, Rita, we've seen a record number of disasters that tell us that, yes, a problem is brewing. A problem is here and is a clear and present danger, whether we like it or not. And what we don't need is some marketing campaign that might get a couple of people out there. What we do need is real solutions, which brings me to the third reason why you would vote opposition in this debate today. And that is that we have presented you with the idea that their plan is going to stop momentum. Their plan is going to make it so that people go, huh, the government is doing something. So those lobbyists, those people that say, no, it's not enough, global warming is happening and things need to change, those people's voices are going to fall on deaf ears. And what we really need to see is stricter emission regulations. What we really need to see is an expanse of our mass transit system. What we really need to see is direct research funding. How are we going to accomplish this? We're going to accomplish it by belling up to the bar and saying, oh, well, this is going to cost every single person in the state of Washington a little bit of money through our taxes, through the items we buy. But at the same time, we're the state of Washington. We know that the environment is more important than a couple of cups of lattes in the morning, but that's not true for Seattle. But in any case, sorry. But in any case, what we do see is the fact that on the opposition, you have a case presented before you that says, no, hold off. Do not do this one because it's going to stop momentum. Hold off until we can put a single plan into effect that's going to drop emissions, that's going to increase mass transit, that's going to give the research the funding they need, and is going to guarantee the research the funding they need because it's coming directly from the government's budget, because the government has made room for it, because it's like education. It's something that we value. It's something that we think is good enough to, regardless of whether people want to or not, they're going to help out with it because the environment, the earth, is more important than any single individual, any single business, any single marketing plan on earth.
Mr. DeGennaro, thank you to you and to your team, the opposition. I now call back Mr. Goddard for the final remarks for the affirmative team. You have 5 minutes for your rebuttal.
They would like to make you think that this is just a marketing campaign, that this is just a few little commercials that no one's going to remember 20 years from now. But in reality, all social change, all significant social change, has begun as just a marketing campaign, whether it's been civil rights, women's suffrage, or any other important issue. It all began as a marketing campaign. The future of alternative energy is no different. It'll begin by persuading people that we need to act, that we need to make change, that it's worth it. And that begins with the Green Certificate Program. We've heard a lot of arguments today from this side of the room about what we should be doing, about tougher emissions, about mass transit. But what I haven't heard is what that has to do with the Green Certificate Program. Why these two things cannot live together. Why the fact that in May, Governor Christine Gregoire signed legislation into law that made the emissions restrictions on Washington State the toughest in the country. Why don't we supplement that with a form of funding for alternative research? We have two ways to address this problem. One is short-term and one is long-term.
They've talked a lot about short-term solutions today. They've talked about capping emissions, which is good. But what we've talked about is the long-term solution. It's about eliminating emissions. It's about the new form of energy that's going to make these kind of issues a thing of the past. It's going to make emissions caps your grandfather's problem. We're looking for that long-term solution. And why that long-term solution can't live in harmony with the short-term solution, I don't know. But this plan here today is the only one that's been presented, and the best one that's been presented, that looks forward to the long-term solution. So let me quickly run through a few of the questions that have been raised and ask you a few of my own. First of all, who will donate this money? As I explained in my first speech, there's a real situation out in the advertising world. Companies want to let their customers know that they're trying to help the community. However, the reality is that they're not just doing it to help the community. They don't just donate money. Many of them don't just donate money for the sake of helping out their neighbors, unfortunately. They do it for marketing reasons. They do it so they can put a logo at the bottom of their commercial that lets their customers know that they support these things. Now, we think that it may be a mixed bag, but it's ultimately good. It's good that these businesses are helping their communities, even if they're getting something out of it in return. And all we propose is one more tool that will give them a new incentive to donate money to alternative energy research. Right now, there are people who may look out and say the Washington State Cooperative Alternative Energy Program is a good thing. But then again, how many people have really heard of it? How many people know what it means? How many people would jump when they saw that at the bottom of a business advertisement? Well, from this debate today, we know that it's done good things, that it's made Washington State a leader in alternative energy research, and we want to keep that leadership position by funding programs like this, by providing a recognizable symbol that serves as a marketing tool that will bring in businesses because, not just because they want to help the environment, but because now they can prove to their customers that they're helping the environment. And what that means is additional money for long-term solutions. Solutions, they're going to go beyond caps and mass transit systems. They're really looking forward to the next generation of energy and the next generation of civilization. And so I'd like to leave you with these questions. If we don't fund a program like this, what are we going to do? Are we going to allow private businesses to try to get patents on these energies so that they can monopolize them for 13 years at a time? Or are we, as the state of Washington, going to set up a program to fund these publicly, to make sure that these patents are held by the public, and that the next generation will reap the full rewards of the strong legacy of alternative research, of alternative energy research that we've created in the state? It's wonderful that we're already a leader, but it doesn't mean that we can sit on our laurels, that we can look to the national environment to solve our environmental issues. We should be complementing their actions. We should be supporting a simple plan that has very, very few downsides. If it doesn't work, then maybe it will cover the real solution. Well, of course, we've been trying many different solutions for the last 30 years. Some of them have worked better than others, and yet we in Washington still take this seriously. We appeal to you today to give the people of Washington one more powerful tool to supporting the future of alternative energy and supporting the future of this state.
Thank you, Mr. Goddard. And with your remarks, this session of the House is closed, and we will move to the adjudicating panel to deliver their remarks and their decision. Thank you again to the debaters in today's round.
As the debaters are shaking hands to show they have no hard feelings on this heated debate, the judging panel is deciding how to vote. And so I've asked them to jot down their decision, and then they're going to tell you about it. But first, I want to announce who's the winner of the round today. On a 2-1 decision, the judging panels voted for the affirmative team. And now let's have the panel explain why they decided to vote the way they did.
I thought that both of the teams spoke very well, but I really bought in with this idea that this was not going to actually fix the problem enough, and that this plan really didn't address the issue inherent in this idea that people are apathetic about the problems that are going on. If people themselves don't care about the environment and energy issues, then it's not going to be a great enough push for a marketing scheme or gimmick, as I think that the opposition really pushed on that point. I do agree that we need to have much more stronger bite behind our programs, and as a result, I think I believe that's why the opposition should have won.
I voted for the affirmative team. I thought that their point on long-term benefits definitely was a winner. Since we had two cases, one arguing that it's not going to help us in the short run, in fact, it actually might hurt us in the short run, and then another case that said, in the long run, we need to look out for those in the future. We need to create these new technologies, which will be one step further, that will eventually do away with our need to use oil or coal. I felt that the long-run benefits and the possibility of funding, even if they can bring in just a few more patents, a few more developments, I think that it's worth our funding. I think that it's worth our money, even if there's just a slight benefit there, because I didn't really feel like the short term was enough of a disadvantage, of a problem, to take away the benefits in the long term.
I agree that both teams did an excellent job, but I voted for the affirmative because I see a great, well, not necessarily great, but a big advantage for getting money to these programs where it belongs. And I don't see how having private businesses get into the act and donate money is in any way bad.
So that brings our debate to a conclusion. Thank you for watching. If you check my website, GaryGillespie.com, you're going to find our next debate that we're going to be having on our campus, and perhaps the city of Kirkland will also be inviting us back. Thank you all.